Looks like we're tipped this way a little bit. I'll stand over here today. Hope you've had a wonderful week. Would you please stand with me as we invite those watching on Facebook to join in with us? We're going to ask God's blessing upon this, his service, and then we're going to remain standing as we lift our voice in praise to the Lord this morning. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, this is indeed the day that you have made, and we are here, Father, to rejoice and be glad in it. We're not here by accident or circumstance. You've drawn us to this place, your house, for this time, this moment. to receive from you, Father, the eternal word that still is proclaimed throughout the world, your word that transforms our lives and makes us more like you. So may that happen in these moments that lie ahead. Whatever situation or circumstances we've found ourselves going through this week, I believe with confidence we can look back and say the mighty hand of God has been with us, and for that we rejoice and give thanks to you this day. Have your way with us as we worship and praise you. May our hearts be warmed by your touch, I pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's remain standing and sing 10,000 Reasons.
restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You give life.
Take a moment and do what you do so well. Just turn around and extend to one another a West Olive wave this morning, and then you may be seated. And as you do that, let me remind you that tithes and offerings, just place those in that little red joy box there on the back wall. This morning sometime, for those of you who are watching on Facebook, let me remind you two ways you can give. One, you can go right to our website, which is on the Facebook page, and give either by sending a check to the church, 8374 First Avenue, West Olive, Michigan, or you may click our PayPal button there and give accordingly. And I just want to thank everyone for your faithfulness in giving unto the Lord. May you be blessed as you do so.
Okay, a couple of announcements. One, we have a prayer room downstairs. We've been talking about it, but it's really very comfortable and easy to sit in and pray, and me and Rhett will be down there after the service. And if for some reason you want prayer during the week, we got a number here. Just contact Rhett, and she will arrange it and to come here and pray with you. Also, we're still looking for a deacon, And the other announcement I really want to bring up is South Island Christian Schools over here on Port Sheldon and 120th, well, 120th, but no Port Sheldon. They're going to be doing a parking lot sale on the 22nd. And I saw that in the announcements, and I thought, may I bring that guys to your attention. There's a couple other things. You can look at them, and I will turn this over to Rhett.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I do have a prayer request. I'm going to Chicago this afternoon because my granddaughter, Milena, is 12, and she's having serious psychological problems. So she's going to be in an outpatient care facility all this week to try and figure out her meds or her behavior. So if you'd pray for Milena and me and the family, that would be great. So thank you. Are there any other prayer concerns or praises? Don't be shy. Okay, thank you.
As we prepare our hearts for prayer this morning, let's sing together, Lord, I Need You.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with our needs. Lord, many of us in this church, our families, our friends, are facing financial hardship. Lord, so bless them. Help them to get jobs where they can meet the needs of the family. Lord, help them, help people to find affordable housing and to find a safe place to live. We pray for the Rinkema family with Marv fighting cancer and Pat's mom having passed away and their grandson. So, Lord, bless that family, comfort them, be with them. Continue, Lord, we continue to pray and ask your blessings on Kelly's husband, Mike, with his back pain, and anyone else suffering from pain or illness or sickness. There's many in our community that are still ill from COVID and the flu and seasonal allergies and colds. So, Lord, we just ask you to just let your healing balm of Gilead flow over each and every one of them, healing them from the top of their head to the top, to the tip of their toes, Lord. Heal our land. There's a lot of hatred being passed around and encouraged. So, Lord, just help us to let go of that. Fill us with love instead of hate. Help us to not take offense, and help us to forgive others, especially ourselves, Lord. Lord, we just lift up all of our students and our young people. This last year has been incredibly hard on them. And, Lord, they're gaining weight. They're spending way too much time playing video games. They're not getting outside. They're not getting with their friends. And many of them are getting depressed, Lord. So protect them from any suicidal thoughts, Lord, and help them to find happiness somewhere. And Lord, their learning needs a lot of prayer also. There's so much going on in our schools, the things they're being taught, Father. Just protect their tender minds from things that are being taught that are not of you. And Lord, we ask for those that love sports and have been spending so much of their time exercising, building their bodies, learning how to play, that girls get to compete against girls, Lord. Please protect them from that. Lord, help us to find the right person for deacon and put it on someone's heart, someone that you want to step forward and serve. Put it on their heart, Lord. Make it real to them that this is what you would have them do. Lord, we pray for religious freedom in our land. It's being slowly taken away. So, Lord, we ask that you intervene and help us to save our religious freedom. And I lift up my granddaughter, Milena, as she goes through this hard time this week in outpatient services, and the family as they pray for her and try to do what's right for her and help her in this hard time. So thank you, Lord, for blessing us, for answering our prayer. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Well, would you believe that we are winding up the Ten Commandments today? We've done 10 weeks, one commandment per week for our children's message. Go ahead, Matt, flip that up. Anybody recognize that person there in the picture? Who is that? It's Moses. What's he got in his hand? The Ten Commandments. Who the Ten Commandments come from? Who originally wrote them on the tablet? The Lord did. The Lord did. Words from the Lord, written by the Word, for humanity. And here's day 10, the 10th commandment, Exodus 20:17. The Lord says this: you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Somebody tell me, what does that mean? Anyone? Okay? Don't envy what your neighbor has. Don't desire what your neighbor has. Be content. Absolutely. In 1 Timothy 6:6-8 in the New Testament, God's word says this: but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Add to that a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I can't help but think some of the things that I taught my children when they were growing up, and it echoes back to this here. Keep your hands off of what don't belong to you. Be content with what you have. Amen? Amen. Stand together, if you would, please, now, and let's lift our voice in praise before we present the message this morning, singing together Ancient Words.
Holy words, Lord.
The scripture text for this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke, Luke 24, verses 46 through 49, and records for us the following. Jesus told his disciples, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we ask that you, through the presence, power, and person of the Holy Spirit, would now impart to us these ancient words. They are powerful, they are effective, they are life-changing. They are what we stand in need of to be all that you've called us to be. Work as only you can to bring glory to Christ and advance your kingdom in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. I want to share with you a little message that I've entitled Holy Spirit 101. Holy Spirit 101. Someone has proclaimed this, and I've seen the reality bore out. I've been in ministry a number of years now, and I would concur with this statement, which is the average church member's understanding of the Holy Spirit is so vague, it is nearly non-existent. Whoa. What we need to understand, loved one, is this. No Holy Spirit? With no Holy Spirit, there's no power to accomplish what Jesus has called us to do. Folks have heard and folks have seen all kinds of things about the Holy Spirit. Things that have unfortunately brought fear into their heart and life. And so they have a tendency of just backing away from what God intended to be his power and his presence in our hearts, in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, the Bible reminds us that God is not a God of disorder, but God is a God of peace. And then the Apostle Paul comes back just a few verses after that and says, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Why did he say that? Because that's the way God operates. God is a God of peace. God is a God of order. And the things that come from God fit in that profile, including the Holy Spirit. So if you've got your outline or just a good listening ear, let's embark upon this thing right now. Slide number one, please, Matt, if you would. Actually, click it up a couple. One more, please. There we are. Under the title, Holy Spirit 101, we need to embrace this. We need to embrace the person of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit. Right out of your church doctrine are these words right here. The Holy Spirit is the comforter promised by Jesus before his ascension into heaven. The Holy Spirit is God with us in the here and now, empowering and guiding both the church and individuals. And then there was something added about Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, the center of human or of all human history. Wow. So it's the Holy Spirit is God with us right now, in the here and now, giving us what we stand in need of. The direction coming right from God the Father through Jesus to the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Second of all, this morning, talking about Holy Spirit 101, if you would. Next slide, please, Matt. Thank you. The pictures of the Holy Spirit that are found in the Word of God. When we read about the Holy Spirit, we will see that he's pictured as water, which means he's washing. We will see the Holy Spirit pictured as oil. The Holy Spirit is healing. We will see the Holy Spirit pictured as wind, which is power. How did the Holy Spirit come on that first day? Wasn't there a mighty rushing wind that came in? The Holy Spirit is fire, which means he's purifying. The Bible tells us that there were tongues of fire that rested upon the apostles, purifying them for the work in the kingdom of God. You will read about the Holy Spirit and see that he's pictured as a dove. A lot of pictures of doves in the slide presentation today. The dove, which means peace. When Jesus was baptized, The heavens came open. The Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And then the Father said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then the Holy Spirit is pictured as a seal, which means protection. Protection. The Holy Spirit protects us. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit this past week. I unfortunately suffered something that a lot of others have suffered, but it's no fun to suffer through it. When you find that your bank account has been fraudulently compromised and you have to pull the plug on everything and put everything back in order to bring integrity back to your banking. Not a fun thing to go through, but I'm here to tell you the power of the Holy Spirit can guide you through situations and circumstances like that. I'm living proof of that. That's a good thing. Reminded of this fact, how many of you remember the Old Testament story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They wound up getting bound. They wound up getting thrown in the fire. But what King Nebuchadnezzar never anticipated is that God showed up in the fire. All right? And I just want to say that as encouragement today. If you're in the fire today, loved one, and you're following the Lord Jesus Christ, God is with you. He is never going to leave you. He promised he would never leave you nor forsake you. Can we get an amen on that this morning? Just an encouragement, Rhett, all right? Even when we have to walk in to the fire as God leads us, he is with us, guiding us, directing us, protecting us. And he is here with us, washing us. He is here healing us. He is here empowering us with his power. He is here purifying us and making us holy as God is holy. He covers us with his peace, and he seals us with his protection. Wow. That's the Holy Spirit of God. That's the gift that Jesus promised his disciples that the Father would send. And guess what? He still sends it to those who desire to follow him. Holy Spirit 101, just simple reality of who he is. The third point this morning is this: the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Here's a lengthy one, so get ready. Buckle up. Here we go. The Holy Spirit has been given a sevenfold ministry, a complete, full ministry ordained by God the Father. First of all, he convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. John 16, 8 through 11, Jesus said, "When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. It is the Holy Spirit of God that convicts you and me and the world according to how we're living. By God's standard. You all right with that? That's number one. Number next, he regenerates. He regenerates mankind, causing them to become a believer in Jesus Christ. In John 3, 1 through 8, we read the account of Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, comes to Jesus at night and has a conversation with Jesus. And Jesus informs Nicodemus that no one can see or enter the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Who is it that brings the power of rebirth in our hearts and our lives? Who is it that moves in a way to transform us from sinners to saints, of not knowing the kingdom of God to knowing the kingdom of God? Holy Spirit of God. He regenerates us. Titus 3:5, he saved us not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit that convicts. It's the Holy Spirit that regenerates. It's the Holy Spirit that, thirdly, baptizes and indwells the believer. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Romans 8:9, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, capital S. And if the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He convicts. He regenerates. He baptizes and indwells. And the fourth area, he seals the believer, or he protects the believer. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. And then later in the book of Ephesians 4, 30 through 32, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as Christ God forgave you. Pretty good indication, loved one, if stuff like this is going on in our life, we would have to really say, you know what? Maybe I'm not living in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I can tell you, for one thing, the world in which we live is not living under the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It is cold. It is ugly. It is sinful. And God calls us out of that to himself through the person of the Holy Spirit. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he enables us to stand firm in the armor of God, to stand against the evilness of the day, to stand up and say, you know what, there's a better way. It's God's way. Come follow Jesus. He convicts. He regenerates. He baptizes and indwells. He seals. He imparts. He imparts. He imparts gifts to the believer. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, paraphrase. God gives himself, that's the Holy Spirit, to empower the believer to accomplish the work required in the kingdom of God. I want to encourage us this morning about these things of gifts. Let's strive. Let's strive to come to know and embrace and accept, watch this, the Holy Spirit. That is the gift of God. He is the gift of God. It's the Holy Spirit. Come on. Come on. It's Sunday morning. Let's go. Come on. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills. The Holy Spirit fills the believer. Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. Again, just a paraphrase of all those beautiful verses there. I put it this way. Get filled to the rim with the Holy Spirit and rejoice. Get filled up with the Holy Spirit. All the way to the top. Galatians 5:16. So I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Hey, let me ask you this morning, gang. How's life going? How's life really going? How are the day in and day outs been? Have you been struggling? Have you been struggling dealing with me, myself, and I lately? Here's the answer to the me, myself, and I. It's being filled to the rim with the Holy Spirit. Desiring and then coming to desire the things of God, not desiring the things that you want, when you want them, and how you want them. And then that seventh fold ministry of the Holy Spirit, he causes the believer to produce fruit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. And that is the picture of an individual who is sold out to Jesus Christ and is powered by the Holy Spirit of God, walking in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The sevenfold ministry, the purpose of the Holy Spirit in this little sketch of Holy Spirit 101. These characteristics of the Holy Spirit, all seven of those are the very characteristics of Jesus Christ. After all, they should be, shouldn't they? For they come from the very triune God whom we exalt and praise and give honor to, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is sevenfold. Continuing this morning as we look at Holy Spirit 101, the fourth point is this. It's the power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said to his disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." And that word power, loved one, in the Greek is dunamis. Dunamis, which means special, miraculous power. Ability, abundance, meaning, might, powerful strength, mighty, wonderful work. How in the world can the church stand up in a world and where God has put it, with everything that seems to be crumbling away in the darkness that's all around us? It can do that because God has given us the third person of the Trinity, the precious Holy Spirit, and by his person, by his presence, by his power, God calls us to do a mighty, wonderful work in the midst of everything that is going on. Come on, you ought to get excited about that. That's good stuff. That's how we do it. That's how it's accomplished. This word dunamis is where we get our word dynamite. Now, Cal, if I had a stick of dynamite right now, and I lit that stick of dynamite and I tossed it out there in the parking lot, what do you think would happen? One, we'd get a big bang, wouldn't we? Huh? Hey, I'm convinced of this, church, that our world needs to see a dunamis moving of the Holy Spirit of God. Our world needs to see a bang from God, all right? Now, there's going to be a mighty bang coming from God when that trumpet sounds and all those in Christ are going to be raised from the grave, and we will join him in the sky in a twinkling of an eye, in a flash of a moment. That's going to be a big bang, all right, that the followers of Christ are going to be able to experience. But I'll tell you what, I can't help but think that God might be just getting ready to give us another big bang before the final big bang, all right? And there will be no mistake of the fact the mighty righteous arm of God is moving. And those, I think those who are just not wanting to hear anything about God, who have gone on their own self-centered evil ways, are going to be wakened up. Are going to be wakened up in a mighty, mighty way. Can't help but think that, all right? This power of God that we're talking about, this dunamis power that God expresses in his world is twofold. It's creative. It's a creative power, and it's a resurrection power. And loved one, we cannot forget that on the first day of the week, the dead Christ that was put into that tomb on that Good Friday was a live Christ that came out of that tomb on the first day of the week. And the resurrection power that was instilled back into the dead body of Christ by the very Holy Spirit of God that I'm talking about today is the same resurrection power that you and I can experience in the deadness, in the coldness, in the sinfulness of life. It is the Holy Spirit of God that takes us and transforms us and regenerates us and makes us into the people that God has called us to be. We cannot live up to the holy, powerful standard of God in and of ourselves. We can only do it through the person of the Holy Spirit of God, whom we invite into our heart and life. To take control, to transform us, to allow us to be drawn to Jesus and to God the Father. You all right with that this morning, church? Come on. To that end, look at number five this morning. Number five, the priority of the Holy Spirit of God. Just simple Holy Spirit 101s, okay, as we learn about that. The priority of the Holy Spirit. What's this? This is what Jesus said of the Holy Spirit in John 16:14. He said, "He will bring glory to me. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you." Everything that Jesus has is available to us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, doesn't it stand to reason that it would make good sense to want that? Huh? I'll get you stirred up here this morning. Yeah, the priority of the Holy Spirit. And not only is there a priority, but there's a provision God provides for us. That's number six, the provision of the Holy Spirit. And provision means this: something provided for the future. Something provided for the future. In John 16:13, Jesus said this again of the Holy Spirit: "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." There have been a lot of voices in our world here in this last year. A whole lot of voices. Good, bad, indifferent. And man, it just, at times, if you pause and listen, it reminds me of Charlie Brown's teacher. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody wants to make a statement. There have been wars and rumors of wars, especially on Facebook. Holy mackerel. YouTube, same thing. A lot of people, unfortunately, making a lot of money on what they're saying. Could I encourage us as God's people to take a step back, take a deep breath, clear our head, and just open God's word and listen? Because God has dotted every I, he's crossed every T. He said he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's given us the Holy Spirit, and God's Holy Spirit will tell us what's coming our way. Whatever that may be, this is what I know. God is a God of order. God is a God of peace. And if you're getting all wound up and bent out of shape by what's happening, you're not hearing the word of God. Come on. Because God provides for his people what we stand in need of. To that end, hear the promise. Hear the promise of the Holy Spirit. Point number seven. They're simple to the point, just bullet points this morning. In Acts 1, 4 and 5, Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Later in Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, Jesus said this: "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." I want to stop right there. It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Who controls time? God the Father. Who controls dates? God the Father. The Bible reminds us that nobody knows the day or the hour of the coming of the Lord. All right? Only God the Father knows that. Our responsibility is to be ready. Our responsibility is to be watching. Our responsibility is to be waiting. Our responsibility is to stand firm in the armor of God and to stand up against the wiles of the enemy. That's our responsibility. And when the time comes, we'll be ready. Amen? "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Back in the Old Testament, way back to the left, a bunch of pages, all right, in Joel 2, 28 through 32, this is what the Lord has promised: "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your older men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions." Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me read that again. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's good news, all right? For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, and as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Spirit of God moving in hearts and lives. Acts 2:38 through 39. Peter, in his first sermon, preached these words. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." This is the simplicity of the Holy Spirit. This is the person of the Holy Spirit. One whom we are not to be afraid of. One who comes in gentleness and peacefulness. Who comes in order. Who comes in power and strength to fit us for what God has called us to be and to do. As I wind this thing up this morning, I'm going to leave you with some powerful words. Matthew, if you would, please. Who's that guy on the screen? You know who I'm talking about? You know who that is? Billy Graham, who's now with Jesus. Isn't he a lucky guy? Huh? The late Dr. Billy Graham once said of the Holy Spirit, "Whatever the circumstance, whatever the price, whatever the sacrifice, His strength will be your strength in your hour of need." That is a true statement to the core. Whatever the circumstance, whatever it may be, whatever the price you have to pay, whatever the sacrifice you have to give, Holy Spirit's strength will be your strength in your hour of need. What I know also to be true is this, that the kingdom of God did not become a powerful reality in the lives of those disciples until they were filled with the person of the Holy Spirit of God. They walked and they talked with Jesus for 3.5 years, but they were not called or moved to action until they were filled with the very presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Doesn't it stand to reason that you and I also need to have that person of the Holy Spirit? What say we, church? Maybe it's time to pause and simply invite the Holy Spirit, God's very power, person, and presence, to come rest upon our hearts and lives. Amen? We're going to do it in a song this morning. Stand with me, if you would, please, and let's sing together. Holy Spirit.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord, and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you've taken a blanket, kind of thrown it over your shoulders, and done one of these numbers? Every night when I sit in my chair, all right? So we were singing, as we were singing that song, Lord, what would it look like? What would it feel like? You did that in the first century, okay, but today, in the midst of all that's being said, in the midst of the turmoil that we're in, Lord, I wonder what it would feel like if you would allow every one of your people just to experience your loving arms wrapping around us, and we'd feel like we're huddled up in a nice warm blanket. Anybody up for that? Huh? So, Lord Jesus, with united hearts, I just ask that right now. So we've heard just the simple proclamation of who the Holy Spirit's all about in the Holy Spirit 101. And that's the gift that's ours. You've promised it to us, your followers. Would you allow, Father, maybe in these moments that last here while we're in this place, or as we go from this place into the world where you've called us, could we just feel that eternal, supernatural presence, Holy Spirit, wrapping us up, and we just feel like we're just all nestled close and warm in a blanket that's wrapped around us. May that be you, Lord Jesus. You be that blanket, I pray, and allow us to experience that. We just ask, Father, in a humble, simple way. These are your people, Father. You brought them to this place. You're making them into the church that you've called them to be, your body of believers, Father, in this place where you've put them. Lord, what we know is this: if we're ever going to be able to accomplish all that you've called us to do, then we need to be enveloped. We need to be enveloped and filled with the Holy Spirit. Wrap us up, Lord Jesus. Wrap us up in your very presence, I pray. And for what you're going to accomplish, I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Loved one, go. Go being wrapped up in the very presence of the Holy Spirit of God. God bless you. You are dismissed.